Welcome, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and our Paradigm Shifter today is a revisit because he has so much information. We could not get it all from him a couple of months ago when we talked to Brian David Anderson of Tri-Vortex with all his amazing subtle energy tools for your evolution and my own. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's really good to talk to you. You're doing a lot of stuff that I consider to be kind of out there, cutting edge, and really, really useful right now. Let's talk a bit about who you are. And I know we did this last show, so we can minimalize picking you apart and how you got into doing this. And then I'd like to talk to you about your tools and how you think they can impact consciousness in our society, or what's it all about. So let's go to it. Who are you, Brian?
Photojournalist by training. I went to the University of Missouri School of Journalism. They've gotten a lot of attention lately, very negatively.
Oh.
And did underwater television productions for a while, and then
we had forgotten that. That's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, so I had these little lifetimes of photojournalists and underwater productions. I did a documentary on a prison retraining program that teaches inmates to be commercial divers.
Oh, wow.
And had a book published by Harper and Row on that same subject, and then did a documentary at the same time. I had an idea that I wanted to, and I still think it's a good idea, where you would mix all different types of medias. So if you were going to take on a subject, you would have a documentary, then you would have a book, and then, of course, then you'd interface something with the internet, where you'd have a total immersion into a subject. I have not seen that done yet, and I still think it's a valid idea where you, again, take a particular subject and just go at various media outlets, and then also hands-on. And then basically, if this is being taught in a university or a high school or a junior high or whatever it is, then you would have a supplemental type of things for the teacher where you can actually have experimentation and experiences by the individual students. So it's still out there, and that's what that whole prison retraining program thing was, to start that up, and it never really got off the ground and that type of thing. So I've always been an innovator and an inventor type of person, trying to think outside of the box as much as possible.
Sounds like you have to think outside of the box. Your brain doesn't give you the option not to do that.
Yes,
well, and you narrowed it down to some very small tools, like, for example, the discs that are energizing for water and for wine and so on. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it's like you've got these huge, okay, so you're talking about how a multifaceted presentation of a situation, and then I jump to these little discs and I go, they sit there as a foundation to actually impact many facets, really, don't they? They're sort of a core thing.
Well, the whole core of it is the treatment chamber. I won't go into the real technical aspects of it, but I created a treatment chamber, and anything that goes inside of this treatment chamber, when it comes out, it has all these unique characteristics.
Oh.
And the basic product that comes out of that treatment chamber is the disc. It's a 3-inch type of stainless steel. We also have it gold plated. And it has spirals on it. And again, it's supposed to be, again, Tri-Vortex. So they had that type of symbol on them. And the gold-plated is no doubt that it is comparing the gold-plated to the stainless steel is like a Cadillac to a Volkswagen.
Oh.
So we have a different performances. And so if you're on a budget, the stainless steel disc will do very, very well. And if you have a little bit more, you want to get more into it, then the gold disc. And basically is that when you put any type of liquid on the on these discs, then their molecular structure becomes coherent. Hence, then there's a lot better performance. You're going to have better hydration. Also, too, is that pain in the body basically is molecular chaos. So when you bring molecular structure, that also has pain relief.
So that's just holding it up against various parts of your body or sticking it into a belt or a brassiere or something.
Yeah, and basically that's the same thing. And also, too, is that we've had experimentations. How people have proven it to themselves is they use plants. And you would then subject the water that you're using on your plants and then water your plants with the Trivortex treated water. And they'll then do a comparison against two waters. One water has been treated, one water is not. This has been done all over the world, in Australia, South Africa, various places. And this is how a lot of people have become distributors of Trivortex. They've done these type of experimentations, and they have found that there is a major difference of water treated by the Trivortex versus just plain ordinary water and how the plants react to it.
I find the taste of the water is better.
Yes, exactly. And that's where, again, you have the, basically you see a lot of sensations. I mean, you can see it, you can feel it, you can touch it, you can smell it. There's all different types of things that the disc provides on a sensory type of, way. And for $75 for the stainless steel, or there's $110 or $115 for the gold, they'll last for 8 to 10 years. And doing all different types of tasks for the individual, anywhere from, the water. And we said about the water, our bodies have a certain molecular type of organization. We are Ferraris. And people care more about their gas tanks than they do about their own bodies. So now if we can raise the conscious level of, you are a Ferrari. Every one of us is a Ferrari. And so now we want to put the fuel in our bodies that reflects the quality that we are. And by putting in molecular chaos water, we're always lowering our performance. So to bring in liquids and solids that have high molecular structure then is going to reflect and also help us to maintain that Ferrari level.
Well, I noticed on your website you say that dehydration is one of the causes of illness of all kinds. So you're talking about chaotic dissonance. I wanted to jump back in and go, does this help the rehydration process? Does this help me absorb water a whole lot better that I keep my glass on a disc all the time?
Yes, and that's what we can say is we can extrapolate when we're working with the plant and the plant absorbs it much faster or, faster and better than normal water and then grows bigger and larger. Well, why we can extrapolate is because the molecules inside all human, animal, and plant cells are the same. We all have the same chemical elements in our molecules. The difference between animals, plants, and humans is simply arrangement. So when we affect a plant, we can say, all biological systems are going to also have a positive impact with this. Every human, animal, and plant cell, they discovered in the late 1990s, this is the traditional science, that there is a phosphorus sheet-based sheath that envelops all cells. And to me, that changes everything, because then when a particular type of chemical element is then passed by a cell, all that is pulled off is just strictly the light particles. That's what the phosphorus sheath does, is it acts as a gatekeeper and just pulls off light particles, which is interesting, is then it pulls off the light particles and then reassembles those chemical elements inside the cell. It's very metaphysical. So basically we have a reality inside of ourselves, and then there's a reality outside of ourselves. And when they become imbalanced, that's disease, that's pain. And so when we bring this balance back where we have these light particles flowing in and out, we need to have also, excretion of light particles. And when that is balanced and functioning, then we have, fantastic health. And it's also, too, is when you keep that balance, there's a reason why the cell could ever really die. We have legends way back that people were living to 500 years old and that type of thing. And I believe it was that it's all the cellular level. We kept our cellular balance. And that's where we're right now as a species trying to find that balance so that we can also now have this major life extension. You know, dying at 80, 90 years old, you're dying, I basically feel, in your own childhood, is that we can actually, the human body can go on for 400 or 500 years in very, very good health. But we have lost our way of balancing this light particle interaction between the inside the cell and outside the cell.
So you're saying that imbalance creates the aging process, or it allows it?
Exactly. Yes,
triggers it. Is that it? Triggers it.
Exactly. When we have that light particles that are not flowing in the proper type of manner, both in and out of the cell through that phosphorus sheath, that is aging. And so I feel I stand on really good scientific ground making that claim, and it will now find over the next 50 years is that we're going to have some major breakthroughs, I believe, in aging process. And living to 200 years old is going to be very, very easy. But again, we're having so many other challenges because of emotions and the toxins that are in our environment and our food and et cetera, that's always then a major type of issue that is at that light particle balance between the two.
And then jump into GMOs. Let's use an example that we all have to face right now, which is GMO food. Can we use those discs and put, do you see what I mean? Can it put a coherence into the food that's been GMO'd, for example?
Yeah, definitely so. That any, even when you have any type of liquid that maybe have a little bit of a toxin inside of it, whether it be a GMO or whatever it is.
Poison? Some kind of poison?
Yeah. So basically is that part of the problem being is that that is also molecular chaos. It's causing a molecular chaos, and it's also chaos itself. So when you bring structure into the whole food product or whatever drink or liquid or whatever you're doing, is that basically it's going to have a far more or less negative impact on that cellular light particle exchange, or what I call light particle assimilation and light particle emanation. And that whole dynamic process is going to be less affected when you have organized food and water coming to your body. And that's what, again, the disc will also help in that area.
Well, tell me this. Have you any experiences with people who've been ill that you've used it on?
Basically, one of the very first ones that I assisted with was a dentist, and he was out of Florida. This is now 9-10 years ago. In fact, it may even be longer than that. It may be like 11 or 12 years ago. And he called me, and a friend of his recommended, and he had a pancreatic tumor that went from 2 millimeters and spiked all the way up to 25 millimeters. And he then had full-blown pancreatic type of cancer, and was jaundiced and had a lot of major problems, et cetera, all related to that pancreatic situation. And so he said, if this were you, what would you do? And I said, well, one of the first things that I would do is when I woke up in the morning, I would drink a quart of water, and it was all be treated by the Trivortex. At that time, I had a plate, so then it was a Trivortex disc or plate, and let it treat for at least 2 or 3 minutes. Then I would drink that quart of water. Then the rest of the day, I would make sure that I would drink at least 3/4 of a gallon, and anywhere between 1/2 gallon to 3/4 of a gallon, and that water all being treated by the plate. So the next thing I would do is I would get emotional counseling. And because everything has also one of the major things of this light particle assimilation and emanation, one of the major things that impacts is our emotions. So I didn't come up with this term. I wish I would have. But anyways, what's the issues in your tissues? And basically, your biology is also defined by your biography. So go back and look at those issues. So I said, you know, get some emotional counseling and do this water hydration. And I said, you can also do a little bit on your diet. But I said also, you know, cut back on any type of coffee you're doing, anything like that. Eliminate a lot of, he eliminated some food. So 2 or 3 days later, he called me back and he said, yeah, hey, I'm going to try your thing. It seems the most simplest thing. So because he was a dentist, he was able to push his doctors and he knew the lingo. So he was able to get more CAT scans. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, here it came. Even though CAT scans do cause cancer, even then with all the CAT scans he was having, is that pancreatic tumor went from 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, we got it. That tumor went all the way down to 2 millimeters.
Wow.
It was just, you know, very, very, very small. At the same time, all of his jaw just went away. He was back playing tennis. He was just totally 100% healthy.
Wow.
And all strictly with water. So then he called me. He said, well, he says, I have to go in for this operation. And I said, whoa, what are you doing here? And I was just, you know, kind of shocked. And he said, well, he said, I promised my wife and my medical doctor that if I did not have this thing totally cleared up in 45 days, then I would go have this operation. And I said, well, can we give us just, you know, maybe give it a little 45 more days? And he said, no. I said, I promised. So they think that there's an operation called a Whipple, which is very, very devastating. It goes in and pulls out part of that area of the pancreas that has, that's now 2 millimeter tumor. I mean, very, very small. It also takes out part of the duodenum and part of the stomach. It's a very, very extensive and I call it barbaric type of operation. So he went under the operation. They pulled, of course, then they did a biopsy on the tumor that they pulled out, that 2 millimeters, and it was benign.
Oh my gosh.
And so basically then this man's health, because of the operation, just absolutely fell off. He could never go back, play tennis, et cetera. I think what happened also then is he went through an emotional crashing. And literally, he just crashed emotionally. And here I was, you know, saying, hey, don't do this, don't do this. Probably some guilt that was on that also. And basically, he died then 3 months after his operation.
Oh, that's a sad story. Yeah.
Well, it's a sad story, but it's also, you know, here we have then the positive end of this is if you have any type of challenges, first off, working on your emotional issues, that's very important, and changing your hydration habits. Just remember that if a body is fully hydrated, then it always is going to be alkaline. And if a body is acidic, it's then basically also going to be dehydrated. The two things always work. So if you're always hydrated, you're always going to be alkaline.
Okay, so but I've been hearing that you can't necessarily just drink water to be hydrated. There's some other factors there, right?
Well, yeah, basically it's, to me, I have a booklet up on the Trivortex website. It's called Super Hydrate and Charge Your Cells. Mm-hmm. And I make my case about what I feel is proper hydration, and it's talking about the phosphorus sheaths, and I talk about all these issues that we've been talking about now. But the major thing is also is that pH is basically an overdone type of issue. I am a very big believer in distilled water. It's either the very worst water in the world or it's the very best water in the world. Is that it's the worst when it's molecular chaos and coming out of a distiller, and it's the very best if it's also had organization. By simply just taking a stick and stirring it, that will also help. But then when you have the Trivortex disc, that turns it into basically rainwater. Rainwater basically is our whole system of our planet. It's nothing but used to store. And so the still water goes up, the water goes up, it's a very low temperature. Then they have all these vapors, it recondenses, comes down, and now this distilled water is this distillation system. It now drops on your car hood. That drop goes on the car hood and spreads itself out. Why? Because the vapors in the water and the air have been able to structure that water. However, when you take the water from a distiller and you drop it on your car hood, it beads up and breaks apart. And so basically when it comes out of a distiller, then that water is going to pull minerals out of your body so that you can now have that structure. But if the water is already treated by the Trivortex, it is more like rainwater. It has structure. So basically, as I said, I have these list of waters in the booklet on the top 10 waters, and the top 10, the top of that is distilled water changed by the disc. The very worst water you can drink is distilled water that does not have any type of structuring. So basically,
but what about rainwater and toxic, acid rain?
Yeah, that basically that's one of the problems is that we do have pollution right now, but it's basically is you do have a filtration. If you are going to drink rainwater, is to basically filter it and do some filtration and maybe even another distillation of it, which then if you already have the distilled water from the sky, you're going to have a lot less left over in the distiller, and you won't have to clean up as much. But the key thing is also is that with pH, which wonderful about distilled water, is it's permeable. When you drink distilled water that has been changed by the Trivortex, and you drink it, it goes to your pH level. That's what's wonderful about.
Do you think we all have our own individual pH level?
Is that it goes directly to your pH level. Instead of having a lot of these waters now that have alkaline, then you're forcing your body to that alkaline level, which you don't know. It's either too much or too less. And that's way with the distilled water changed by the Trivortex, it will then automatically go to your level, your particular type of level. And that's why, again, I feel distilled water is the most important water. The regretfully is that there's a lot of distillers out there. They're very difficult to clean. And so, it takes a commitment. If you want to have good hydration these days, it takes commitment. It's more than just going down to your local store and buying a bottled water. There's a lot more to hydration than that.
What is consciousness, and what is subtle energy, and what is their interplay, and what are realms of consciousness?
To me, it's obvious that consciousness is a totality. When you have an individual that can put on just a saffron robe and then walk up the Himalayas, the conscious level has to be shifted, but they're also their body by breath techniques, exercises, etc. Then the person's conscious level has to be something different per se than the normal. So conscious level,
hopefully
is
better,
not,
right? Not just different.
very much so. Yes. So again, we're putting judgment on something when you say better and good and that type of thing. And that's why I was not trying to put judgment, because then people that aren't the yogis, we feel per se inferior. And it's not. It's just all a matter of evolution. It's a matter of process. So that person has maybe taken, several lifetimes to reach that plateau. And that doesn't mean, though, the plateau we're on is any inferior or worse. It's just a matter of then process of where we're all going. And that's also part of consciousness, is not to, to me, consciousness is you're improving, is that you're not putting judgment on others, on situations, etc. So the persons that I think feel stay in it's more common, again, I don't want to use a value, but they stay in the judgment consciousness, then basically they're not going to achieve many types of things where the body actually can do. So much potential is lost. And that's the whole thing with consciousness, is that you're fulfilling your potential. We fulfill our potential as what our species can do.
Right.
And so that's the main thing, is consciousness means also fulfillment.
And one of my clients, or one of my interviewees, actually, Peter Calhoun, who's now on the other side of consciousness, the way we know it, talked a lot about us being essentially a very unlimitable species. We can unlimit ourselves. And that's what I'm picking up with the way you're talking, is we can break through a lot of limitations. For example, our judgments have limited us, right?
Yes, very much so. And then regretfully also, the whole thing of materialism is that we live outside of ourselves feeling that this particular type of material is going to help us or do something for us or whatever. And so it's when we have imbalance where we are feeling materialism is going to do everything for us. Yes, materials will still do, you know, very, very good things. But at the same time, by chasing the materials, have we limited also our consciousness there? So consciousness and, I guess, spiritual evolution is on several levels. It's not just thing where you sit down and you meditate and you go into all this loving type of situation. Consciousness is very much of action, of that. You know, it's not just, it's a verb, and it also is a noun. That's what basically, that's a great way, I think, to also describe consciousness. It's both a verb and a noun.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, doesn't it?
And the verb being our bodies, and the noun being our state of where of our intention.
But it doesn't, the state doesn't have to be fixed, and that's where you come in with your amazing tools, right?
Yes, and basically that's where whenever you try to be just hold on to something and being stable, well, that's when things become unstable, is that things are always constantly evolving. And basically is that the biggest thing about stability is that when things are stable is when things are changing constantly. So, and it basically is, you know, we're always constantly moving in this flux and et cetera. So it literally also, I feel, has to do with what there is a thing called, the scientists call the tachyon state.
Okay.
And that's where two waves, they move in perfect 100 degrees out of unison with one another. And then basically is that that's almost nothingness, because when you put two waves together and they're 180 degrees out of phase, we can't see them, touch them, we can't do anything whatsoever. Once those two waves come out of phase with one another, then you have all the material phenomenon. You have then chemical elements, we have sound, we have senses, we have all sorts of things. So literally our existence is because these two wave patterns are out of sync with per se each other.
Well, so when is tachyon healing? Does that mean when you get into that that void there, when they are in sync, healing occurs, or you can change the physical statement of reality?
To a certain degree, yes. But then the thing is that if we're all into this tachyon state, we're not here.
Oh, but that sounds that, good some days, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so that's where, again, see, is that's what I'm saying, is that once you you go into that tachyon state, basically you've gone out of this dimension, this existence.
Hmm.
And so basically then is when those two waves go out of phase, is then that's the whole material, that's the whole phenomenon of life. But it's how you organize then those two waves being out of phase with one another. And if it's all in a chaotic type of form, which I feel, again, judgment does, fear puts you into that chaotic form.
Panic. Yeah.
Yeah, a different, you know, fight or flight, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Then that way, that out of sync waveform is not going to be very harmonious. But basically, when the two waves are out of sync, but they do it in a harmonic type of manner, that also is consciousness, is where we literally can get those. We have to have those waves out of phase to be in existence. Otherwise, we go into this bliss state and you're not here anymore.
Hmm.
So basically, it's getting all of that harmonic together. And it's not only of a physical type of thing, but it's also mentally, spiritually, attitude, that type of thing. So and basically is that there is this, what I call a river of this out of, you know, these completely in phase waves. And then when you go out of phase, they're here, but that's only temporary. But those waves are always constantly changing. They're never the same one moment to the next.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically tying together all those moments where you have this then synchronicity that's out of phase. That sounds, you know, contradictory,
well, wait,
but it's
can
not.
We, with intention and with focus, can we choose when it to go in and out of phase? Can we choose that, or can
that's
we choose?
Exactly. I think that what you do is when you you can literally put all of your molecules into this tachyon state, and then basically you now transcend. That's what I think the goal is of all consciousness, is your the ability to put yourself into that tachyon phase. But then the key thing is, when you're in that other side there, you can then have the ability to bring it back, to go back out of phase. That's, to me, the highest probably thing you can do for spiritual attainment, is being able to have this ability where you can take all of your molecules, put them in a tachyon state, go into that tachyon state, and then come back into this phase, or even any other phases too. You can go into other consciousness, you can go into other realities, type of thing. And those are
I was just reading today about brain state technologies, where they actually based a technological, you probably know a lot about this because this isn't really, really recent, but it's still recent in terms of its advancements. But they got the reference for how this electronic effect of the brain came from the patterns that they got from people like the Dalai Lama. You know, these beings that are happy, they say that they can use this brain state technology to teach your own brain patterns to maintain an attitude or an evolutionary stand. That's kind of related to what you're saying, eh? And then these people can use it, yeah?
Yes, very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's basically, but also understand that our reality is always a state of temporary, because everything is always in this flux of being out of phase, and that's always staying in a temporary state. So the most permanent thing about our reality is everything's temporary.
Well, I love it. So let's get to work on what you provided us with, because everything you're doing is temporary, because I've only known you for a while, but you're always advancing. You're doing some of the next stuff. So we've talked about the disc. And let's see what else. I would really like you to talk about the stem cell work you're doing.
Yes, this is a really kind of an exciting area. Basically, is that we first off review. A lot of people don't know really what stem cells are. Mm-hmm. And to just have a brief overview of that, is basically is put out by the bone marrow. Mm-hmm. And that's, which is to me always amazing, that bones actually weep in blood.
Wow.
And very amazing. And when it does so, is that basically the stem cells that come out, the key thing about that is that the DNA is partially turned off. And so it's like remaining like a kind of like a baby cell, because all of this DNA, just little portions of it, are turned on. And then it floats around the body. And then whenever it's needed someplace, such as a lung, or, you know, it could be a piece of skin, or it could be, you know, various other organs, it doesn't matter what it is, that as a dead cell then falls out, then the stem cell comes in, turns on its DNA to match exactly to what it is trying to, replace. And
so voila, you're saying the DNA has the full record of everything going on, so it knows where to fit in. Is that right?
Yeah, and then to me, where that also works into is what we talked about yesterday, is that moving liquid creates an electromagnetic field. And so to me, how the DNA is turned on is by the electromagnetic fields of the body. So that means the only way that really it can be really turned on. So basically then, as some blood vessel in your elbow and it needs to be replaced, basically then those electromagnetic fields of the body have that particular type of strength there, because it's the moving liquid creating that electromagnetic field, and the neuron activity is firing into it, and basically creating this really great electromagnetic matrix for that DNA then to turn on itself right in that area. That's why it'll turn on one way, you know, for the lungs and turn on one way for the elbow, is because all having to do with the electromagnetic fields of the body. So then it is the DNA is turned on the stem cell and then replaces the whatever it was, you know, wherever it's needed. Wherever it's needed. So the two things. The two things that we need to do in stem cells then is, number one, to stimulate the stem cells so they're created. And the next thing is then, even though we may have a lot of stem cells around, we don't have the ability to turn on that DNA. And as we get older then of course, then our blood is moving slower. Our nervous system is firing a little bit slower. And so basically then we're not turning on those DNA at the same rate we did when we were 10 years old. So that's the whole thing about, the key thing about aging is two things. You always need to have the ability to turn on the stem cells. And then then you have to have the strong electromagnetic fields, which again all has to do with breath. It has to do with nutrition. It has to do with hydration. And you have that strength. The electromagnetic fields in your body have the strength to literally turn on the DNA. And I believe diseases like leukemia have to do with the body's inability to turn on that DNA. And so basically then that stem cell basically goes kind of haywire and is not able to match up and will not match up with other stem cell, with other organs. And now you have this whole load of blood that is not going anywhere. And that is then the basis of a lot of diseases, from leukemia to cancer, et cetera.
So what do you do when you're working with people? And I know you have some amazing experiences. But so let's pick someone who's got something and they come to you for stem cell treatment.
Well, I'll go back to the history of it just real quick, and that is that I found a little, two things that happened that started the whole stem cell thing going. I first developed the Tri-Vibes, where you actually wear your vitamins and nutrients. Then I also came across a electronic device that was made in the 1970s, and it's a little handheld device, and it puts out a signal between 60 hertz and 10,000 hertz. The FDA and the medical community refuses to even recognize this band of frequencies because they start at ultrasound, which starts at 10,000 and above. They won't even recognize that this band of frequencies even exist. So people have then called it now intrasound. And so this little intrasound hand unit looks like a little hammer and has this sound head on it and puts out these frequencies, and they've been using it mostly for athletic recovery, for athletic injuries, for various things, and that's what it was made in the 70s. Well, what I did is I took a pouch of Tri-Vibes and I put it up inside near the head of this sound frequency device. And what happened then, what appears to be, is that the frequencies then become a carrier for the Tri-Vibes, for the literally these light particles that are being emitted off near the head, then they are carried by the sound frequencies into the body. I came out with my first little, what I call tri-intrasound unit, and a distributor bought one in Phoenix, and she was working with a diabetic, and his left leg was in terrible condition. It was almost ready for amputation. And so what she did is she took this little sound unit and started going up and down the lower leg. And of course, now she was going over the tibia, and the tibia is a very long bone in the body. And of course, that's where a lot of stem cells are coming out of. And one of the very first things that happened by doing this is his insulin levels, which were all over the place. He was on a very high dose of insulin, and they were used to be, his insulin levels would go way high and then would get way low, and then he'd have to take sugar, and he was going up and down, up and down. And that was one of the reasons why his body was getting such fluctuations, and that's why his leg was in crisis, is that he wasn't getting the proper nutrition and blood flow. And so one of the very first things happened was his insulin levels basically leveled out. They stabilized. and which is, you know, that's, there's not too many things that do that in the world that can have the ability to do that. So she just kept on going. Now his insulin levels are now stabilized. Hence, he's now getting much more nutrition to the area, and now this triintrasound is putting the right into the area, right into that leg. And 1 month later, that leg was totally back to normal.
Okay, so I want to ask you a question. So you said that it's light particles that are in the pouch that you talked about, right? The light particles that come from the nutritional balance that we need optimally. Is that right?
Yes, and that's what the Tri-Vibes do.
And so your little machine there is delivering that, so the body is being nurtured or nourished into.
Yeah, and basically when you wear the vitamins and nutrients, it usually takes about 30 days to build them up. With this triintrasound unit, you can concentrate and put all those vitamins and nutrients right directly into an area. So it's like almost acting as in a way of injecting the vitamins and nutrients right into an area. So it only concentrates just on that area. You take it away and it doesn't build up the body. It's just basically right into that area. So that what she was doing was stimulating those stem cells. And first off, the insulin rates were all stabilized and levels were stabilized. Then putting all those nutrients right into that tibia bone. And then hence the stem cells were being stimulated. And now that's where recovery then happened very fast. Then almost literally in a month, the leg was back to normal. So that basically was the very beginnings of the stem cell stimulator. I thought, well, if we put a frequency, I was putting this one type of frequency into the leg with these nutrients. I said, well, what if we were to also now have a computer make those frequencies rather than this little hand unit that was making these frequencies? We did it with a computer. And we took the two positive poles of the computer and we put it right directly on the stem cell area, that tibia bone. Mm-hmm. Now we're coming off the two positive poles of the amplifier. Now we take the two negative poles, because positive always wants to flow to negative. If you ever put two wires together from your speakers, they'll arc and they'll spark, because they're wanting to go to one with always positive wants to flow to negative. So I thought, okay, we take now that negative pole and we put it on the target area. Now what we're doing is we're stimulating those stem cells in the tibia, and we give it a positive charge. Now that positive charge stem cells are attracted directly to the target area, wherever it might be. And the very, very first person that we ever did was an 83-year-old woman. She came in with a spur on her front of her foot, and that spur had been there for, I don't know, 2 years, and she had been on a cane for 2 years because every step she took was just absolutely pain and agony for her.
Wow.
That also contributed, I believe that stress contributed all to the rest of her body. She then developed a cancer that was very rare on her cheek, and the traditional medical establishment could do nothing about this open lesion that was growing on her cheek and then due to this very rare type of cancer. So when we first saw her, I said, well, what we really have to concentrate on first is the foot. And so she came in, she was wearing the cane, and we also used her daughter as per se a donor. Basically, the positive end was actually put on the daughter's legs. And then
You get that from her?
Because we wanted to have a little bit more of a charge,
okay,
of these stem cells. So basically we went into the daughter's tibia bone, and then the daughter put her hand on our mother's tibia bone. So now basically we got a little bit more of a charge going into that tibia.
Well, let me ask you a question coming from naivety. Do you think that the power of that, the stem cells coming from the daughter's tibia is greater because she's younger?
Yes, and that's what we were always, and sometimes we use it, sometimes we don't. In this particular type of case, because the daughter was available, mm-hmm, and she was younger, we take advantage of that. Anytime that we have a younger person around that's basically also related, is we try to have them get involved with the stem cell because, again, it's a little bit more amped up power, per se, and they're matched up, you know, DNA-wise and that type of thing. So she put her hand onto the tibia bone.
Right.
And now we're using the ground and we're going right directly to the foot area. We're also using this tri-intersound unit and putting that on there also. And now have the ground onto the foot. And that's what we really concentrated on. We also did some massage to the foot to get the lymphatic system going and that type of thing. Then we moved up to the cheek area. And then we did this all in the first type of treatment with her at the first session. And she had a Band-Aid on. So, again, we put the negative pole right onto the cheek and also did the tri-intrasound unit. Two things happened after that first session. Number one is the lady stood up. She started walking, and they handed her a cane. And there was maybe 7 foot to go to the door where we were in the room. She started walking towards the door. She said, "There's no pain." And she turned around, handed the cane to her daughter, and never used the cane ever again.
Wow. What happened to the face cancer?
So then basically the cancer, had a Band-Aid on it. They took it when they took it off, the Band-Aid off when they got home. The cheek was this huge, bright red color, and the daughter called me and said, "Hey, her cheek is like this fire engine red, just right around where you could see where the applicator was put." And I said, "Well, is there any pain?" And she said, "No." She said, "Normally it's really, really painful." And she said, "There's no pain at all." I said, "Well, what the red means is there's blood flow coming, and that's exactly what we want." So now she's now walking normally. And then 3 days later, the total lesion that was on her cheek was totally closed up.
My goodness.
So that was the first person we ever dealt with.
Wow, that's a great story.
Yeah, wow. And it goes from there. We have many other up on the TriVortex website. If you go up there, trivortex.com, and then you go to Stem Cell Stimulator, we have all different types of videos of people. What was interesting is that this was our first person, mm-hmm. and I thought, okay, it's going to take a while to do and that type of thing. And I didn't do any still pictures. I didn't do anything before. And that was one of the very few times that I've done that that taught me a lesson, is I always try now to do before videos or at least before still photographs. And then we do after ones. And now you can see a lot of the before and afterwards. You can see pictures of this lady in one of the videos. We have the after of it. We show the lesion on the cheek closed. Regretfully, we didn't get a picture before. But this is when we were just starting up, type of thing. But now we have a lot of documentation. And one of the now latest ones we have is individual came to me. He was diagnosed with lymphoma cancer on his neck. He had two major nodes that had grown on his neck. And, of course, they wanted to do all the radiation and chemotherapy, et cetera. And he pretty much rejected that. And I had not met him when he had done that. And then somebody recommended me to him. And we met after the diagnosis, after he had already said, "No, I'm not going to go this route." And you'll see on the video there, we started off in November, and then we tracked him through. And now we're at 110 days later, and he went in for a PET scan. His initial diagnosis was done with a CAT scan. Then approximately 110 days later, he went in for a PET scan, which is much more thorough, and they found that there was no cancer in the body, and that the two lesions that he had, those nodules, that particular cancer had reduced at least 97%. All of his symptoms were gone. The swelling was completely gone, and that was all done in 110 days, and we have all of his testimonies up there. And it's also his wife also got a really unique type of gift, and he talks about that on the video that is up on the trivortex.com.
So, wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, roughly right now there's only one stem cell system in the world, and that's here in Palm Desert, California. So persons who have any type of real health crisis type of situation, then they have to come to Palm Desert. And hopefully that's going to change now over the years. Mm-hmm. One of the major things that we do now with the stem cell that's been added now within the last 6 months, and the reason why I feel we got just really, really starting to get some, tremendous successes with this, is we found a way to put a positive charge onto hemp oil and CBD oil. You know, again, as I said before.
Oh, but I was going to interrupt you and tell you to talk about that CBD oil.
Yeah, so basically what you have in the hemp has actually a male and female plant, and one has the THC in it, and both of them, though, also have what's called CBDs in it. And then both of them, of course, also just have the normal hemp oil. And the big deal right now is that the feeling is that the CBD is also the big thing for healing. When you have CBDs in your body, then there's going to be a healing type of process.
What is CBD? What does it mean?
It's a derivative. It's a concentrate of the, they distill down the hemp oil. And that's when they come down with the CBD oil. So it's a distillation process, and it's a concentrate. Basically, that's a, it's a concentrate of the hemp oil. And, of course, then there's now with hemp oil or hemp, you also have one factor of THC, and that's the hallucinogenic aspect of marijuana, et cetera. From all the research that I have done, I feel the THC, when it comes to a healing type of process, really is minimal. There is no healing opportunities or abilities of THC. It mostly is a hallucinogenic aspect of it. So what people are doing now is when they distill down the CBD oil, they also distill down the THC, which is much more powerful. And so you have one camp of CBD oil that has THC in it. You then also have the other plant, because again, remember we said there's a male and female plant.
Right.
There is another aspect of this with CBD is that it has no THC or very, very little bit of THC. There's no way that you can get any type of hallucinogenic type of phenomenon from that. So then there's also just the plain hemp, the plain hemp oil itself. So everybody is now saying that hemp, that the CBD oil is the way to go. So what I have now is a system where I can put a positive charge onto oil. It, basically what happens is you bring an oxygen concentrator, and the person wears nodules, or they breathe this oxygen. There's a positive charge put onto the oxygen itself. It's also done by my computer. Everybody else uses wall plugs to put these charges on. I use a computer to do it. That's where, again, Trivortex and the stem cell is so different from everybody else, is that these charges are put on by a computer. Then this oxygen with this charge on it is then bubbled into the hemp oil. And sometimes what I also do is I mixture whole different types of oils. Hemp oil is a high saturated fat, which means is also when you put it on your skin, it may take 10-15 minutes to absorb in, whereas coconut oil or olive oil or something like that will go in very a much faster type of way. But because the saturated fats are so high in hemp oil, they don't absorb very fast in the body. So what I do is I then blend this hemp oil with other oils. And also I put CBDs, a little bit of CBD in there without the THC. Now that is being bubbled by the oxygen, and now this positive charge picks it up. You are now using cannulas, or you also use an inhalator. Most times we just do it with cannulas, and you're breathing now this hemp oil, this combined hemp oil, and it brings it into the lungs, and it has a positive charge, remember. So now we use the negative end of the amplifier, and we put it on the target area. So as these charged particles are coming into the hemp oil, into the lungs, they're literally getting attracted to whatever target area you want it to go to. And that was one of the very first persons that I did this targeting area was this person with the lymphoma. Basically then now to target the area and basically saturate the area, then we use that tri-intrasound unit to help convert those stem cells and to convert the CBDs and everything to do a real positive type of charge to the area. Then we're also using the stem cell at the same time is that we have the stem cell be going into the tibia bone. That's also put on the target area too. So we have two different things happening. We have hemp oil coming in and we have stem cells coming into one. We really target it. We put it right onto the area. There's no other system like this anywhere in the world where we can actually then bring to the area all different types of hemp and stem cells and then convert everything and make the changes, et cetera.
Kind of rejuvenate everything. So I want to say to everybody that the next time I talk to you, hopefully it won't be that long, I will be able to talk about having used this transformed plant oils on my skin. And I'm thinking about all these stem cells you're talking about. I better sort of get some stem cells from some young folks and maybe I will rejuvenate myself. What do you think?
Well, basically you have to transfer over, and that's what basically the stem cell stimulator does, is we have a very unique way of transferring the stem cell energies from one person to another. The actual stem cells themselves, no, you don't do that, but you take the stem cell energies and basically then being able to magnify into another type of individual to help stimulate their stem cells.
Wow, I love that. And we're out of time pretty much, Brian, but so would you tell everybody how to find more information about you? I find it very intriguing and I'm very excited about your work.
Well, thank you very much. Again, trivortex.com, trivortex.com. Again, I'm Brian at trivortex.com, B-R-I-A-N. That's my email address. And Skype is just brian.david.anderson. And telephone number is area code 619-884-1455 if you have any questions. And basically, again, we're now... I believe that we're right on the precipice here of just a whole nother way of doing the whole way of healthcare and rejuvenation, et cetera.
I think you are as well. And the other thing I want to say, I'm so grateful for our discussion today because I always say we need a glossary because we toss words around we don't quite understand. And you've really helped me kind of grok or come along and understand more about stem cells. Because we hear about it, and it's been so political, and it's all about fetuses and all this stuff.
You've told us
a ton of stuff here.
Yeah, and what they do now, traditional medicine removes blood, and they take stem cells out of the blood, or they take it out, they'll remove some tissue out of the body and remove the stem cells from the tissue. Then they put it back into the body. The problem being is that they have to use chemicals. Then there's drugs that also the person has to take. When they do that particular type of process, and the contraindications to those drugs are many times as severe as the disease itself. Mm-hmm. That's why stem cells still have a major, major problems, is they still don't, the technique itself is still, having some real growth issues. And I then talked with one of the top stem cell doctors. He's on the East Coast in Florida. And got in discussion with him, and I said, well, do you ever discuss with your people hydration? Because when they're doing this process, the drugs that you're giving them really super dehydrate them. Are you trying to do anything of, having people drink more water or whatever? And that doctor just looked at me like I was crazy.
Wow. We've already discussed the discs.
So basically, here it was.
I've got my disc under every bit of water so I cannot be dehydrated.
Yeah. And one of the key things, the failure rates to current stem cells, I believe, is dehydration. The drugs themselves cause the dehydration. The people come in already dehydrated, And he just looked at me like I was crazy. It's like, hydration, what does that have to do with stem cells?
Well, crazy often is how we look on the cutting edge. So welcome to the cutting edge, Brian David Anderson. You're all a delight right. to talk to, and you really make me think, and I'm very excited about your work. So thank you very much. Thank you. This is Veronica Antwistle saying thank you so much for listening to our interview on Paradigm Shifters, and you can pick it up on a podcast on my site, veronicaantwistle.com, and on iTunes and Stitcher, and probably on Brian's site at some point. Is that right, Brian?
Yes, very much so. I'd love to have that on there.
Good. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening, and many blessings. Good night. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.